and welcome to On The Box. Once again, we have returned for another week full of TV stuff, things, whatchamacallit. I think that covers everything.
Yes.
Well, that's better than what I did once. So, good job, Andrew.
Thanks, Andy, who is my co-host, and also Rob, who hasn't made any noises yet.
I said yes.
Well, that's it. I can't take it anymore. If you're going to be like that, we're done.
What?
No, it's too late, Rob. I'm ending On The Box. All because of what you said.
What?
No, Rob. Don't try and take me back. It's too late for that now.
Por qué?
Sounds like you're reciting some lyrics of some sort there, Andrew.
No, just the telenovela that is constantly playing in my own head.
That's why I went, por qué? I was trying to do the Latin American soap opera. I figured out what he was doing.
But yes, I joke. This is actually kind of our final episode.
Yeah, we will be
the final episode of this type of On The Box.
Yes, we will be metamorphosizing. What is the word? I know words. I do good words.
Should we just say adapting? Because that's more positive.
But I wanted to make a comment about how we're going to transform into a beautiful butterfly that you can only see like every so often because we're mystical and stuff like that. But you ruined it, Andy. You ruined it.
So metamorphosizing.
You're even worse at it than I am.
No, that's good. Just in case anyone was wondering why we're changing the format, that's why.
We're going to be like a Transformer, but without the disappointing movie series.
Without the explosions. And the female characters with... I mean, my God, how much collagen is in those lips?
See, I really wish there'd been a scene where she just, like, fell off a building or something. Like, landed lips first and just bounced.
See, I made that joke before where you get you get one in one hand, one on the other, then you use them as suction cups to climb the building. I forgot their names.
I don't know. Spider-Man reboot. Funny turn.
Yes. Yeah, Spider-Man took a different turn.
They're still making Transformers films.
Yeah, I know. They've got The Last Night, which is supposed to be the last one, apparently.
The last one was supposed to be the last one. And the one before that was supposed to be the last one.
But I'd rather the one before the first one being the last one.
You mean the actual good one from 1985?
Yeah, probably.
Well, here's the thing.
Whoa. Sorry, everyone. We're taking a swerve away from TV for a sec. Because no, you do not defend Transformers, the original movie.
What? The one with the...
Compared to the other ones.
I mean, well, compared to the other ones, A Dumpster Fire is a better film.
Yeah.
But the original one was terrible.
Yes, but that's fine, because we were kids when we watched it.
They killed Ironhide, Rob. Killed him.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Braun and Ratchet. And I'm pretty sure Prowl died. Wheeljack didn't even die on screen, Rob.
Yeah, I
he
know.
He just made in the gutter.
Is this like your numb memories?
And who did we get instead? Bloody Rodimus Prime and Ultra. I don't have time for this, Magnus.
Yeah, but nobody cares about Ultra Magnus or Rodimus Prime.
That's my point.
Yeah, but that's fine. Because that's where...
Rob, I didn't like the original Transformers film, can you tell?
I don't think we're anything like the Transformers.
I couldn't actually tell that you didn't like the original Transformers movie.
That was Orson Welles' last ever role, Rob.
I know.
That's the last thing he ever did on Earth.
But let's put it this way.
Voice of... planet-eating robot whose name sounds a lot like Unicorn.
Yeah, I know. But here's the thing. How many millions of people around the world watched that movie when they were kids or watched that movie since it came out and absolutely adore it?
None, because they're all wrong. Every time a child says I enjoyed that film, I personally go around and slap them across the face.
Really?
No, but I want to.
We are not going for the Jay and Silent Bob ending, okay? That's not happening.
Just think, though, Andrew, that Transformers film will probably be in the graveyard that is Channel 5.
No, it isn't, because it just got re-released on Blu-ray.
Oh, I'm trying to make Andrew feel a lot better.
Thanks, Andy.
And you've just basically took that off me, made it into an offensive, really heartening experience for Andrew, and just shoved it straight into his heart.
Yeah, because, you know, you've got to toughen yourself up with these sorts of movies.
We still are the TV.
No, I don't. Oh, yeah, that's right. We are a TV show.
So, I believe we should have some news, and I think Andy's going to kick us off.
Yeah, Andy's got the news. But do you know what you've got?
What?
You've got the touch. You've got the power.
It's true, I do actually have the power. I can mute anyone.
Oh, no, I can't think of anybody having the power. Rob, I've just got an image of you and, like, a He-Man pose.
How do you know I'm not striking a He-Man pose right now?
Oh, well, I assume you just record all these things in full He-Man costume.
Well, complete with furry loincloth.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Yes, on to the news.
Yes. It is the TV show, but on from films, we are now going into a video gamey type segment. So,
yeah.
Bear with us.
We'll get to TV eventually.
The Witcher. The set of books and video game series, that's another avenue, is getting a Netflix TV series.
And so Geralt of Rivia, if I remember rightly, that's what he's called.
Yep, everyone's favourite billionaire, Geralt of Riviera.
The guy who in The Witcher 3 got jiggy with a woman who was it a warrior woman or someone like that? On top of a stuffed unicorn.
It's pronounced Unicron, Rob. God.
Whatever it was dead and stuffed, and he mounted her on it.
As long as our picture for this episode, as long as we can reassure the listeners that it's not going to be bathroom, Geralt, we'll be fine.
Oh, God, Andy.
Because every single article or whatever you see online about The Witcher always has that thumbnail.
Yeah.
But anyway, The Witcher series has been turned into an English language, quoting the English language, Netflix drama by CG Visual Effects company Platige Image SA.
Platige Image SA.
Yes, S. A.
Oh, right, okay. I thought you were making that, like, that Latino insult. I was worried. I was going to say, what have I done now, Andy? Why are you calling me S. A.?
Anyway, The Witcher series was spawned by Polish novelist, Andrzej Sapkowski. I think I've said that right.
What was
Andrzej
that, Andy?
Spelled A-N-D-R-Z-E-J.
Okay, and what was the surname?
Sapkowski. How it's spelled?
Zapkowski.
Zapkowski.
That is with an S.
Because he's
that is a mess rad name.
He's the novelist for the Witcher series of books, and obviously that spawned quite a successful series of games as well.
Yeah.
But apparently the TV and Netflix adaptation is staying true to the source material. So I'm guessing it's going to be more of a adaptation of the books rather than the video games.
So basically it's going to be Game of Thrones starring Geralt.
Yeah, although it does go on to say that it's not particularly mentioned whether it's going to be CG animated or live action, but they do use the word drama. So a CG animated drama won't really...
I mean, I would assume live action.
Yeah, I'd assume live action as well. But the technology is there, and they already have all the 3D models for the characters, and the graphics in the game are pretty impressive.
And also, Platige Image are the ones that have done some cinematics for The Witcher games as well.
I think you mean Platige Image SA.
Yes.
Yeah, SA. Maybe that's a hint what to expect, SA.
We're not going to let you live that down. No,
I'm going to do that all the way through the show for everything I'm talking about.
We are not going to let you live that down now.
Just love the idea that there's like a car full of executives and then just like a Latino gangbanger who follows them around. So that whenever they say, yes, we're a Platige Image, he can just like whenever go, SA.
Oh, there's something decidedly wrong about this image, but I love it so much.
Oh.
And
you know what I loved so much?
What?
Optimus Prime.
Oh, God, he's still on that.
And he died like a punk.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He died
just
for our
so
sins.
They could sell more action figures.
No, he died for our sins, right?
It's probably the sins of watching that film.
No, he died for the sins of all sentient robots that we actually are. We just use organic roboticism.
Ooh, that's a big word.
Yes. Do you know what else is a big word, Andy?
Yes.
Gladiators. Do you know what's two words? Love Island. Do you know what three words should never be mashed together? Love Island and Gladiators.
Oh, no, Gladiators, Love Island. That sounds... Oh, God.
See, this is the thing. ITV, see how I crowbarred the story in there?
Yeah.
I see.
Just the blatant obviousness of it. ITV have had this amazing idea, and I would love to be a fly on the wall for the executive meeting deciding this. It's such an amazing idea. You know, just some of the ideas that must have been thrown about in that meeting. You know, they must have been amazing, these ideas, right? So they want to take one of their successful shows, which is Love Island, right? Which apparently lots of people watched. I didn't watch it. Not really interested in watching anything like that because it sounds boring to me. If they did Love Island as in, you know, the island with Bear Grylls, if they did that version of Love Island, then I might be interested in watching it. And it seems like somebody actually paid attention because they want to add more danger, more spice to Love Island, because having a group of, you know, a group of beautiful men and women on an island and just leave them to it isn't spicy enough. Let's throw gladiators into the mix, yeah?
Oh, no, John Anderson's not involved, like, is he?
On the computer trying to Photoshop Jet's head onto one of the Love Island scenes. I just suddenly, like, had a eureka moment.
It's what it sounds like.
Oh, is it bad that I'd actually watch this?
But here's the thing. There is a rumour, and this is, I think, the saddest part about all of this, and it tells us that ITV has literally reached the point of... it's basically, you know when you're eating, like, a tasty dessert, one of those prepackaged pot desserts, like maybe it's a chocolate mousse or something like that, and you've got those dregs at the bottom, and you're desperately scraping them with your spoon to try and just get just one more mouthful of tasty morsel.
Mm.
ITV feels like that with this because the rumour has it that it's going to be called Ladiators.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear.
It sounded good until you said the name. Why didn't just call it Gladiator Love Island?
Yeah. The thing is, apparently it doesn't have any direct connection to Gladiators from the 1990s. It will instead be a tongue-in-cheek embrace of lad culture as contestants, along with their girlfriends, compete in a series of challenges, testing their stamina and fitness.
I can't.
Oh, there goes my hopes of having John Anderson stand there in his referee costume, you know, and he's going to climb the wall. Going, you will go on my first whistle, and you will go on my second whistle.
Lad culture.
Yeah.
There's
something that puzzles me about this, right? I thought lad culture died in the early noughties.
Oh, no. Where have you been, Rob?
Obviously, I've been hiding away on a rock in the middle of the Pacific, where
don't
it's
you
all
watch
people.
Car crash reality TV, Rob?
No.
It's all about having a bit of banter with the lads. Lads.
Oh.
But who refers to them as lads?
The lads.
Which lads?
I think they're mostly in Essex now.
Then why are they deciding the TV for the entire nation? It's Essex. It's one small part of the world. It's one small part
of
the UK.
Bounce, Rob. Hey? You've got to have a bit of bounce.
A bit of bounce?
Bounce with the lads.
So why don't you just get some bounce from somewhere else in the country?
Because the lads took it all. They took all the bounce.
Somebody has to sell these tell these TV producers, though, that if they do this show, Essex isn't an island.
No. I demand that they float Essex out to sea and make it an island. If you're going to do this, do it properly.
In defense of the show, if it's about a bunch of Essex lads having to fight each other to the death, and then the survivors get eaten by lions, I'm definitely into it.
It'd be like Extreme Release the Hounds, but it'd be Release the Man-Eating Lions.
Sorry, when you said that, Andrew, I just had this mental image of Joey Essex sitting on a throne with some golden laurel leaves around his head, just, you know, with his thumb up. And then he's looking at his thumb like he's just discovered he has thumbs. He's like, and he's just staring at his thumb, just wiggling it. While the gladiators are waiting, while the gladiators on the sand floor, one of them is on the ground and the other one's holding his sword above him, just waiting for Joey Essex to give the kill order. But Joey Essex is fascinated by his thumbs.
It'd be like it sounds like a low budget Shao Kahn.
Joey Essex being a low budget Shao Kahn.
Hey, I'd watch that.
I'm trying to imagine how you'd say your
up
soul
until
is.
Until this point, I didn't think there was anything that could make the first Mortal Kombat movie any more perfect.
Now
there is.
Yeah, I'm just trying to imagine how Your Soul Is Mine would sound in that really strong Essex accent.
Was finish him, lad.
Your accent isn't strong enough. You need stronger accent, Andrew.
Can we just write for ITV?
Brap!
Yeah, ITV, if you do listen to one of these, we'll write one of your really bad reality TV. We'll come up with some ideas for you.
Your Soul Is Mine, bruv.
Spoiler alert, ITV. All of ideas are death games.
Yes. Oh, so, gladiators. I'm deeply, deeply concerned, ITV. You know, at school, when you hand in your homework at school and you do something wrong and the teacher just writes, "See me," on it. It feels like that's what we need to do with ITV, is just write, "See me," on their report card.
Just tell him, "You failed your essay, essay."
Well, it is gladiators.
Come on, come on.
It is gladiators.
As long as it is a bit like a gladiator-type-esque and not the gladiator as in film-type-esque.
I thought you were going to go with the Joey essay X.
Oh,
I know that one.
But that's probably the level of joke that gladiators deserves.
Yep, it is. Right, moving on, Andy. What else have we got?
Well, we've got more stories.
Starscream as well.
Are you still on that? Well, actually, no, they didn't kill off Starscream. Galvatron killed off Starscream because Starscream basically tried to usurp all of the authority of the Decepticons from Megatron by throwing him out of Astrotrain. And so it was Starscream's own fault for basically being a bit of a dick.
But that's what I'm just saying, if you don't want Starscream to betray you, don't hire Starscream. It's literally his one skill.
This is true. If you can't handle the Starscream, stay out of the Decepticons.
Anyway.
Yes. Anyway. I believe you had a story for us, Andy.
Yes. Is this our last story, Rob?
Yes.
Oh, essay isn't so.
Oh, go God.
On. Come on. That was a good one.
It was better than mine.
I'll be doing this all the way through. I'll be doing this all day, never mind when we're recording.
Yes.
SAU. Offending somebody or something.
What was that?
I'll get done for offending somebody in like a supermarket queue or something.
I was doing the Lionel Richie song, "Say You, Say Me."
Anyway.
I realise all I want in life is for Andy to get inducted into the Latin Kings.
Anyway, story.
Right. You know, the new Star Trek... Well, Star Trek have announced a new TV series called Star Trek Discovery.
Yes.
I think we've talked about it on the show sometime before.
Yeah, I think I made the comment that I was confused. Was it a documentary about Star Trek that was on Discovery, or was it like Star Trek discovering stuff?
Yeah, is it... that sounds like a Rob Neville joke.
Yeah.
It says, if you thought the new series would budly go where no man has gone before, it's not quite that simple.
Really?
Because they're looking to a certain American drama, weird TV show for inspiration.
Okay, which one is that?
TV show is none other than Game of Thrones.
Hang on, so is Baldy going where no man has gone before?
Well, every man's gone there before on Game of Thrones.
Almost definitely is going to happen at some point in the sex scene.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Now I've just got a lot of sci-fi jokes going to my head involving things like dwarf stars and black holes. Don't ask me why.
Oh, no.
So, they're using Game of Thrones as their model.
Well, as made like a major inspiration.
This concerns me.
For what?
I don't know. Do you think they're going to have a trial by combat for the captain of the ship or something?
Well, no, it's just, if it was original series with Kirk, who basically got jiggy with everything in the universe because he could, because he was Kirk, then I could understand using Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but I mean, apart from that, what do you take from Game of Thrones? Space Dragons.
Space Dragons is good.
You have Space Dragons.
Space Dragons is good, but don't forget, what other things did Game of Thrones give the world? Incest? Apparently, it's okay to show it on TV. what else?
So, full disclosure, I just cut out then and then came back to just hearing Rob say, it's okay if you show that on TV.
Yeah.
I don't want to know what the context was.
I was saying, it's Game of Thrones has given incest to the world. And apparently, it's okay to show it on TV as long as you kill a child afterwards.
Well, hey, the picture
that child was just crippled for life.
Oh, true. Attempt to kill a child, then.
Well, this picture that's in this article of a character in Star Trek.
So, hang on.
It looks like it's been a result of,
inbreeding?
Yeah. Looks like you just walked into an iron. But that iron was half switched on and he still got creases in his face.
Did they walk into the Iron Throne? see? Maybe that's the captain's chair. Maybe it's like the Iron Throne.
Soundwave survived, and that's okay because he's the best Decepticon.
Yes, because Soundwave superior, Constructicon's inferior.
Word.
Yes. Oh, anyway, so I am really confused by this story.
Do you want me to explain what they mean, or...
Please.
And spoil your inspiration. Oh.
Please, because...
See, I don't know if I'd rather just, like, keep the image of just, like, some dude showing up to a phaser fight with just a giant broadsword and going, ah, nerds.
Is he the red-shirted security guard?
Yeah.
Oh, please, please let the red-shirted security guard still be a thing.
Anyway, executive producer Alex Kurtzman revealed these plans in relation to Game of Thrones... he wants it to be on the same scope, scale, and emotionally as the TV show, and wants to give it a feel of being a movie that's just on television. So the more after the... What really scares me is the emotional experience, because to get the same emotional experience as Game of Thrones, they have to go pretty far out.
Okay.
If there's a character that you like on Star Trek Discovery, don't like them. Don't like them because they're going to die.
Yeah.
Quite horribly, no doubt.
See, all I want now... All I literally want now is Jason Momoa doing his best Mongol impression in space, where he's a huge man on a tiny little space bike, just screaming blue murder at whoever attacks him. followed by a horde of huge men on time.
Jason Momoa would be an amazing Klingon.
Sorry?
Jason Momoa would be so good as a Klingon.
No, no, not a Klingon. Just Jason Momoa leading a group of his mates on, you know, who are also huge mountain men on tiny little space bikes. The Klingons are afraid of them.
I know. I've never been, never really watched like Star Trek too much, but apparently it's going to take place a decade before the first mission together between Kirk and Spock.
Oh, so no.
It's a prequel.
That was before the space biker Jason Momoa versus the space dragon age.
Oh, God.
Oh, damn.
Oh, well. We know it's not going to be good then.
15-episode first season as well. That's so rare. They must have confidence in it.
Yeah, but having confidence in it... see, the thing is, I liked Enterprise, right? I thought Enterprise was a great series. Loads of Star Trek fans don't like Enterprise. And I don't know why.
What? Enterprise, the Captain, the Picard?
No, Enterprise as in Scott Bakula.
Oh, that's okay then. I thought you were making a Rob comment.
No, I like this. I like the Star Trek series Enterprise, the prequel. I don't see the need to do another prequel to Star Trek, you know, and call it Discovery when Enterprise was such a good thing. And it ran for 4 seasons. And unlike Andromeda, it made sense all the way through. Yeah, I'm still sore about Andromeda season 4. Can you tell?
I will keep up with Star Trek series.
Shockwave didn't even hear in that Transformers film.
Shockwave? Yes, he did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Was he at the start of the film? He might have been in the start of the film.
I think he was at the start of the film. When Megatron was leaving Cybertron.
Oh, yeah. He was in a special space tower thing.
Yep.
That's still not enough Shockwave.
Yeah, but Shockwave wasn't really a great character in the first place. He was never really developed.
As opposed to all the rich, full characters of the Transformers canon.
Yeah, I'm sorry to tell you, but Grimlock was an amazing character.
Yeah, but he also... None of them were amazing characters, Rob.
Grimlock was fantastic. Such
no
depth.
No one watched Transformers for the rich pathos.
Such depth in that. His delivery was perfect. You know, Grimlock was amazing. And his backstory, my God. We're talking award-winning stuff here.
I think I'm just sat in the middle.
Where did Ironhide's lubricants leak from? That is the question.
That's the question that they tried answering on the first Michael Bay movie.
Oh, I remember that scene now. I'm sad now.
On that note, shall we take a break?
I think so.
We'll be back in a few moments.
Quite disturbing.
Hello, do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films, and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well-staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week, and do it reasonably well.
Welcome back, and now it's time for what we've been watching. So, guys, for this final time, what have you been watching?
That's emotional. Can we, like, put in Don't Cry For Me Argentina over this bit?
No, because we'll probably end up with the Madonna version, and I don't like the Madonna version. Well, I say final
time. There's a non-Madonna version.
Yes. True. I say final time, it's not technically the final time, it's just the final time in this format of the show.
Mm. Basically, the final time until we can be bothered to do it again.
Yes.
Hey. It's less emotional when I say it like that.
Yep.
So who wants the honour of going first in this final time?
I'll do it, but only because I'm the most important. Okay, I guess we'll just accept that as fact then.
We're not disputing with you.
So, I've been watching American Gods.
Okay.
Which is a new series on Amazon. It's an adaptation of the book by Neil Gaiman. And it's done by Brian Fuller, the guy what did Hannibal.
Okay.
So basically the story, it follows a man named Shadow Moon, who is released from prison a few days early to find that his wife has died in a car accident. And on the plane ride home, he's approached by a mysterious stranger known as Mr. Wednesday, who offers him a job, basically as his bodyguard. And from there, he gets sucked into a weird world where basically all the gods exist, kind of just living as everyday people. And Wednesday is trying to organize them into an army to fight against the new gods.
Yep.
Sounds very complex.
It is.
It is. And it's a very good book.
Hmm.
In fact, I would almost say it might be one of my favorite books.
What about the TV series, though?
I hate to say it. I don't think I like the TV series.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, it's a very literal adaptation.
Oh, that could either be very good or very bad.
Yeah, I think just it's kind of bad. Because just a lot of the things that work in the book don't work as well on screen.
Yeah.
Like, a big part of the book is they'll have these kind of breaks between chapters where we'll focus on, like, just a random god living in America.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's just not good in a TV show. Like, it's not a format that was designed to have kind of intermissions.
Yep.
So, like, you'll suddenly get these, like, you know, kind of 10-minute-long sequences where it'll just cut away from the main story to be like, and here's an Indian genie who is a taxi driver in New York City. And it just kind of hurts the flow of the show, I think.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, those sorts of cutaway things, they, as you said, they work in the book, but I honestly can't imagine why you want to put them in. If they don't add anything to the flow of the story in the TV series, they should have just kept them out, shouldn't they?
Like, I was thinking, like, it would probably work maybe if they did it, like, at the start of the episode. Just had that as a little thing before the main thing starts. But it's the fact that they'll do it, like, 3/4 of the way through the episode. It's the point where, like, but we're now about 3 episodes into the series, and if you haven't read the book, it's kind of hard to know what it's even about.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Which is a shame, because there's some great stuff in, like, obviously seeing all the stuff from the book, like, in live action is really fun and good. Some of the casting is amazing. You've got Ian McShane as Mr. Wednesday.
Yeah.
Which, just as the character who's like this kind of old, grizzled, but still very charming con man, it's just an absolutely perfect piece of casting.
Hmm.
But if it was possible, there's, like, one that's even more perfect.
Oh?
Because you got Peter Stormare as Chernobog.
Ooh.
Because it's him basically being Peter Stormare, is just crazy Eastern European guy.
Yep.
Who wants to smash your head in with a hammer.
Yep. See, that works for me.
Yeah, see, there's lots of bits that work on their own.
Yeah.
And I like kind of how they haven't been afraid to cut certain things. Just as kind of like a, we can't show that stuff. Like, well, basically for anyone who is a fan of the show, well, a fan of the book, I mean, Bilquis, the Queen of Sheba, appears. And yes, she does the thing.
It's not Bilquis, it's Bilquis.
I pronounce it Bilquis.
Because it's got a Q in.
Fine. Yeah, Q for quiz. Like quiz.
Like biscuits.
I don't know what to say.
I'm sorry. No, I just want to call her Biscuits the Queen of Sheba. Because it's Sheba's a cat food, and it's a kind of name that you give to a cat, isn't it?
Damn, I want to call cat biscuits now. Then you can get a ginger tabby and call that ginger nut.
Yes.
Ginger nut and biscuits.
Yep.
I want cats now. It's fine. I'm going to die alone. I may as well have some cats who can eat my corpse.
Are you going to be a crazy cat person?
Yeah.
It sure spirals into some tangents.
Yep.
It does.
And so back to the show. Do you say this one would be preferable in, like, a long book essay format than a TV show?
Oh, you got it in again. Yeah, I would say it's better as a book. I mean, different. Maybe by the end things will come together, but it's kind of just, it feels a bit all over the place.
Yeah. So, Andy, do you want to go next then?
Yeah, I'll go next. It's a bit completely different to what the, well, what Andrew, the tone of Andrew's choice.
Okay.
I've been watching the Keith and Paddy Picture Show.
The what?
The Keith and Paddy Picture Show.
Okay.
I don't think I'm going to like where this is going. No,
you might actually like where this is going. This is because I myself, I'm not a fan of Keith Lemon. I think quite a few times he's too silly to laugh at. But the Keith and Paddy Picture Show is basically every week for half an hour in a comedic tone, they choose a classic film to recreate in that hour. And the first week they worked on Dirty Dancing, which was hilarious. Last week was Ghostbusters. And tonight at 20 past nine, it's Return of the Jedi. Return of the Jedi? Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi.
Jedi. And it's Keith Lemon and Paddy McGuinness as the two stars that are acting these out. But they're accompanied by an all-star cast. For example, last week in the Ghostbusters, Robbie Williams was a member of the cast. So they go all out with the budget, in a sense. Philip Schofield is Yoda tonight.
I've got to ask, right, whoever came up with this idea, did they just watch Be Kind Rewind perpetually for like a week? Right, just non-stop watching that single movie for an entire week, because this sounds exactly like Be Kind Rewind.
Well, in a sense, they're basically just recreating. It's like a documentary. They show you behind the scenes as well in that half an hour.
All right, okay.
I mean, Ant and Deck are even Ewoks tonight, so they go all out.
Well, I always imagine Ant and Deck as small woodland furry creatures.
But for example, I do recommend watching it. It's only half an hour episodes. But last week, do you know the end of Ghostbusters where they have the huge, I forgot what it's called, what was that?
A Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
That's yeah. Instead of that, they replaced it with Mr. Blobby. And basically, it was absolutely hilarious.
See, I was worried where you were going there. For some reason, my brain was going, they replaced it with Lewis Hamilton. I'm like...
But I do really recommend this.
What was that, Andy?
That's a jump to make.
Yeah, I know. I don't understand why my brain was going, they replaced it with Lewis Hamilton. Please be Lewis Hamilton. Don't know why.
I mean, they changed bits of the films. In Dirty Dancing, they replaced pregnancy with... extremely bad constipation, and it was really funny. I was really surprised.
That's not nice.
What?
That one is, yeah, that's not nice.
But I do think it was really good. I think Rocky IV's coming up as well.
Who's going to get to play Dolph Lundgren? Who are they going to get to play Dolph Lundgren in Rocky IV?
I don't know. I'll have to have a look. You'll have to watch. But no doubt it'll probably be Keith Lemon. Unless he's doing a really bad Sylvester Stallone impression. But
yeah.
Oh, well. And Larry Lamb was in Dirty Dancing as well.
You watch some strange stuff, Andy.
Well, as I said, it's half an hour. Just a different film every week. And I thought, why not? Expecting it to be absolutely terrible. Found myself actually laughing at it. And it is actually really good. I do recommend watching one of the episodes.
Just
probably
the one?
Return of the Jedi tonight.
Just one?
Yeah, just one episode. No more than one. We can only handle one. Any more and your brain will explode.
Watch this show responsibly.
Have like a parental warning. Maybe display.
Do not watch this and drive.
Yes, do not watch this and drive. Do not operate heavy machinery afterwards.
Well, on IMDb, this show does have 8.3 out of 10.
Okay.
And usually comedies, for whatever reason, that are funny in any sense usually have about three.
Yeah, but you're relying on IMDb, which isn't, you know, IMDb is, it's, what's the word I'm looking for? Well, let's put it this way. I always go back to the fact that I was looking for a list of black comedies, and I found a list on IMDb of black comedies, right? Normally when you refer to talk about black comedies, you're talking about kind of really dark comedy, you know, gallows humor type thing. Not for this list, where it was a list of comedies starring black people.
Oh.
So I no longer trust IMDb for anything.
I was going to say, the Ghostbusters episode does have Chris Kamara in as well.
What?
He just bursts into singing the Ghostbusters theme every 5 minutes. It's brilliant.
As in the former football player, Chris Kamara.
As in the pundit, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just really want to see tonight who's going to play the Emperor.
Andy.
What if it's Mary Berry?
You never know.
It's more likely it'd be Paul Hollywood, though, isn't it?
Just as he turns around on the chair.
Going, not sure about that cake. Use the fork.
I just realised.
What?
Paul Hollywood looks quite doughy.
Oh, maybe he should have played the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
I can see that.
Just Paul Hollywood. They just built the set out of cake and he just charged it out going, ah, nom, nom, nom.
Also, I'm worried about myself.
Eh?
Because when you said that, John, my first thought was...
What?
He can't play the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. He's far too short.
Oh,
Anyway, is it my turn?
I don't know what to say to that. But yes, Rob, I think it is your turn.
Yeah, right. I've been watching something left field, for me anyway, because I was channel hopping and I ended up on a Channel 4. And I thought, oh, what's this? Seems a bit odd. It's a comedy panel game show on Channel 4. And I thought, seems quite interesting. They're talking about current affairs. But it turns out they wasn't talking about current affairs because it was a weird combination of Would I Lie to You and Have I Got News for You? Kind of combined and mashed into one and then, you know, twisted out of all recognition and then put on Channel 4. And with Stephen Mangan hosting and Catherine Ryan and Richard Osman as panellists, I've been watching the fake news show.
I haven't watched it yet, but I saw the advert for this.
Yeah.
And it intrigued me, to say the least.
It's a very, very odd duck, I've got to admit, because ostensibly it's about... one of the things that they have is that real news sometimes is... even weirder than the fake news. The episodes that I watched, they had this grid of pictures, and you had to try and figure out what the two real news stories were and what was the fake one. And one of the real news stories was that Steven Seagal has been banned from the Ukraine because apparently he's a threat to security, which I found hilarious.
Hey.
Because it just reminded me of that episode of the Geek Show we did where we were talking about Steven Seagal. Playing
that
clay
much
pot.
Of a threat with his music?
With his clay pot.
Yes, it's now been officially branded as a war crime.
But the other story it seemed so totally surreal, but it was actually the truth, that a woman had been found guilty of training a bunch of squirrels to attack her boyfriend.
Squirrel Girl is real!
There's an act on Britain's Got Talent you could...
Well, train the squirrels to attack Simon Cowell on cue. So, yeah. And I liked that as the first idea. And it was the first episode I watched. I watched the pilot before that, which had Richard Ayoade and John Richardson as the guests. The first episode literally has just gone out recently. And that had Stanley Johnson and Miles Jupp as the guests. It's a very, very new thing. It's a very new idea, this fake news show. Well, fake news isn't a new idea, but the actual show is. And it's early days. The pilot and the first episode are, you know, they're good for what they are. But I don't know, there's something about it that just doesn't quite work for me yet. I think I need to watch more of it before I can actually decide whether... it's got some great points. It's got some really funny points. There's some bits where you can clearly see an influence from a show like Would I Lie to You? But for a lot of it, the influence is clearly Have I Got News for You? And it's even down to like the setup of it where you got Stephen Mangan in the middle, and then you got on either side of him two teams of two. It kind of lends itself to comparison with Have I Got News for You, which has been around forever now. And I don't know, Have I Got News for You has is one of those shows that really shouldn't work but does. And I think it's because of the people, you know, because Ian Hislop and Paul Merton are so good at what they do now. You know, and Paul Merton is just amazing anyway. Let's just put him in charge of the country. He'll fix everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's missing from the fake news show is that kind of banter, that kind of camaraderie between the hosts and the leaders of the two teams. Richard Osman and Catherine Ryan, they don't have that banter down yet. They haven't worked together long enough to have that kind of casual banter that Ian Hislop and Paul Merton have going on. Stephen Mangan hasn't worked with either of them long enough for him to be comfortable with that level of banter either. You know how when they do 8 out of 10 cats?
Yeah.
And you got John Richardson, Jimmy Carr, and you got, what's his face with the glasses, Sean Locke. And the three of them, the three of them have this kind of, they have this camaraderie, they know kind of where the line is and where they can push the line, you know. Sometimes they go over the top a little bit, but they kind of expect that of each other as well. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
With this show...
It's just they feel like they're a few friends having a laugh.
Yeah. With the fake news show, it seems too new for them to actually be comfortable with saying certain things. And so it still feels a little bit manufactured. I think it's going to take a bit more time for them all to settle in and actually be comfortable. And I am curious... Because the thing is, it's got a good idea... It's not a new idea, and a lot of their stuff seems to be kind of recycled elements of Have I Got News For You that have just been repackaged and repurposed because Have I Got News For You isn't using them anymore. But that doesn't mean you say it can't work, you know? They've got a good concept there. It's something that could work. It's something that is probably aimed at a slightly younger audience than Have I Got News For You, because I think Have I Got News For You is kind of... I think it's kind of the elder statesman. It's a bit, and some people might look at it and think it's a bit long in the tooth. Whereas Richard Osman, it seems to be the flavour of the last couple of years since Pointless became a massive thing. And now everybody wants him to be on a panel show, don't they?
Everybody likes Richard Osman.
Well, he seems to be like TV's favourite brainiac since, what's her name? The one who does Only Connect.
Ah.
Oh, Victoria Coren Mitchell.
Yeah. Since she seems a bit, she does seem a bit uppity, I'm sorry, but she seems a bit arrogant to me. Whereas Richard Osman, he just seems like a know-it-all, but actually kind of cool with it.
See, I don't know if she is, because I feel like that's kind of a big part of the character she puts across.
Possibly, yeah. I am
kind of this fake, very snooty know-it-all.
Yeah, I am going off what I've seen of her, not on Only Connect, but on QI. So, you know, maybe she's still playing the character there. So, I don't know. It's just Richard Osman seems a lot more approachable, even though he's a giant. And the guy is huge.
I don't trust him.
And Catherine Ryan, who doesn't like Catherine Ryan?
She's funny. Definitely.
She's adorable.
Reverse Catherine Ryan from the Antimatter universe.
Stephen Mangan,
like Catherine Ryan, but with a goatee.
Yeah, Stephen Mangan. I don't trust the guy. Any guy whose hair is that curly. Sorry, I just had to throw it out there. I really don't trust any guy whose hair is that curly. But he seems quite okay with this. So yeah, that's what I've been watching. Early days, but it's got potential.
Mm, sounds good. Sounds different as well.
Yeah, I was stepping into your territory here, wasn't I, Andy?
I was expecting some drama or, well, something like that, something serious. But
you were expecting,
that surprised me.
You were expecting a food show, weren't you?
Or a food show, like Bake Off or something.
No. So, yeah, that's it for today. And for this version of On The Box, we will be back soon in the future with the new revamped version of On The Box.
Seemingly dying now, only to come back stronger than ever before, just like Optimus Prime.
Yeah. Do you know the twisted part of all this, Andrew, is that we're probably...
I said that Leonard Nimoy was actually pretty good as Galvatron, because I'll give him that.
He was amazing, anyway, because it was Leonard Nimoy. I'm sorry, but if you wanted someone to narrate your life, who would you rather choose?
I mean, David Attenborough, obviously.
Damn it, I forgot David Attenborough.
Because we need to save Leonard Nimoy for the closing act of the documentary, which is a duet of the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, God. I forgot about Leonard Nimoy sings.
Because it's just him sitting on a rock in like a turtleneck with a bunch of semi-naked women just like cavort around him.
Yeah, I know. It was a surreal thing. So, yeah, we'll be back with the new form of On The Box in the near future, so look out for it. I think I'm repeating myself because of Leonard Nimoy. I'm stuck in a time loop. Andrew, help me.
Oh, Leonard. Live long and prosper.
Yeah, live long and prosper. Until we see you again, I've been Rob.
I've been Andy Esse.
And I've been Andrew. I don't even really like Transformers that much.
We'll see you all later.
Thanks for listening.
Essay.